to try something a little trivia here before I get going in my message. True or false, St. Nicholas Day is on the 24th of December. How many think that's true? How many think that's false? How many have no idea what St. Nicholas Day is? St. Nicholas Day is actually December 6th. Some places December 5th. And in those nations where that's celebrated, you mostly in Europe, a lot of times they'll find small gifts or small chocolate-covered coins in the shoes of children in remembrance of the things that St. Nicholas did in the past. All right. Another thing. St. Nicholas originally came from, one, the North Pole. Two, Germany. Three, Myrna, Turkey. Actually, it's number three. It's from modern-day Turkey. St. Nicholas was originally a bishop of Myrna and was known for his charity. And also, as tradition tells us, he actually, during the Council of Nicaea, the one man who was there who was representing a heresy wouldn't stop talking because everybody was against him. So St. Nicholas walked up and in Christian love slapped him. So, when you think of Santa Claus, you usually don't think of that. So, anyway. True or false, St. Nicholas lived an easy life. No, it's false. Actually, he was in prison and possibly tortured. He lived as a bishop without a lot of money, but what money he got, he often gave away. And here's a small bit of trivia. More churches in Europe are named after St. Nicholas than anyone else. Not Peter doesn't even come close to St. Nicholas. That should tell you what kind of impact this man made. He was far more than just a jolly man giving gifts. He was passionate about helping people and passionate about Christ. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 4 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse number 1, says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge what he sees with his eyes, nor decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With his breath his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall he be his belt, and faithfulness shall be the sash around his waist. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a child will lead them. A cow will feed with the bear, and the young will lie down together. And the lion shall eat like the straw, or eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put their hand in the viper's nest. And they shall neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. And in that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a banner for the peoples. All the nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious." Come, O come, Emmanuel came from at least back to the 8th century. We know that it was sang during that time. Who originally came up with the song? We don't know. It was sang or said as a chant, and it was well loved, but then it sort of fell out of favor, fell out of being used. But in 1610, Johannes Hindendorf, which I probably mispronounced that, but he's not here to complain, so we're okay. Added the melody, but he also left out a couple of the verses. Originally, it had 7 verses. Aren't you glad you didn't have to sing all 7 of them today? In 1851, John Mason Neal republished it in France. Later, it was translated in English by Thomas Lancey. And in 1916, Henry Kaufman added back the 2 verses. And a side note, in the early 80s, the Von Trapp children, actually the grandchildren of the people who escaped from, if you've ever watched the movie Sound of Music, that group, yeah, the grandchildren released a new version, or new verse, that they said was sang in Vienna during World War II. It's just kind of amazing, the history of this story, of this song. But when we look at the words, it starts out, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Originally, this was a verse that was later in the story, later in the order, but it was moved to the front because they thought this was the thing. We need to start off remembering we need Emmanuel, God with us, as the starting, as the focus of this song. Emmanuel, God with us, will come. The verse afterward, the verse which was originally the first verse, come, O wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show and teach us his ways to go. I don't know about you, but there are often times in my life I need wisdom. In fact, I was talking with my Bible coach and the person who helps me put together some of the things with my messages, and I might say my glorified research assistant. We were talking about this, and we were talking about what verses might be more appropriate for us as the Global Methodist Church going forward. And with us trying to figure out how things are coming together, we figured out one of the verses we really needed was this one. We need wisdom. Because we got to put things together, and we want to put it together right. We want to make sure that going forward, we're doing the right things. So we need God's wisdom. Come, O come, great Lord of might, who your tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. When we look through these after a minute, we'll also see, we start when we look at Scripture, we see it started with wisdom. God's wisdom created the world. He came in Mount Sinai to show his people the way, the law. Come, thou branch of death's dressy steam, yeah, and unto your own rescue them. Now we see God moving into the prophets and into the kings, that God's going to prepare a way, that God will use someone from Jesse's line to save the people from death and hell. Come, key of David. Now we've moved from the king, from Jesse, to his grandson, the king. But it wasn't David the one, but the one that would come in David's line, that would make safe for us heavenward road, that we could make it to heaven. Come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. I don't know about you, though, sometimes we really need comfort. I thought this is another one that was good for us. Because for some of us in the church, we've gone through a lot. We've seen a lot of things happen, and there's been a lot of transition. And we need God's light to shine. Dispel the night and the darkness. And that's the thing, he's come. When we think of Christmas time, it's a time that, I don't know about you, but how many of you about 9 o'clock last night looked outside and said, it's only 9 o'clock? Boy, I love summer at this point. Not the heat, but that. It's like, it's so dark. I want some light. Yeah, we all do. In fact, that's the heart cry of our hearts, really. We want light. We want to see. Because so often we don't. And when we're in the dark so long, here's the truth for most people. We have some of you have probably heard of it, what's called seasonal. Okay, that's what I get for trying to say something I didn't write down. Anyway, basically, we don't have enough sunlight and it bothers our psyche. And it does me. I just, like I said, 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm thinking, it should be later than it is. What is going on here? But we want that light. Here's the thing. Jesus came to bring us light. Light maybe not for the skies around us, but into our hearts. Because when we have that light, it can bring us hope. Come, O King of Nations, and bid one in heart all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease, and be yourself King of Peace. As we look around the world today, we're not seeing much of this. We're seeing a lot of division, a lot of fighting, a lot of war. But Jesus came to bring something more. And as we've been talking about what Christmas means and what it brings, we are reminded that we are to bring peace. We're to bring unity. This doesn't mean we agree with people that are doing wrong. This doesn't mean we stand beside people who are doing right. But we don't add to the problem. We don't add to the hate and the bitterness and the division. We come to bring something better. To end the division, to come together and let Christ be King. The world may not figure that out, but as the people of Jesus Christ, we need to figure that out. And then, of course, I have to throw the one in the Von Trapp family singers came up with, or they said, was saying during World War II. Come, Messiah, come again. And rid the world of death and sin. Return, thou risen Savior, and sing, that heaven and earth may sing. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. I like that one. It may not be several hundred years old, or over 1,000 years old, but I think it's a good one. The ancient times, when they first originally put this song together, the original, as I hinted about before, started out with wisdom, went to God, the recognition of God on Mount Sinai, the root of Jesse, the key of David, the day spring that God brought through the prophets and Jesus coming. And then finally, as the book of Acts starts, Jesus is not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And it's for, as we see in Revelation, that God is with us. Yeah, its original setting, the original way it was put together, actually walks through the entire Bible. Because Jesus Christ with us is more than just December 25th, Jesus as the babe. It's Jesus coming within us and making a difference in the world. Interesting note, though, throughout history, these words and things have been rearranged. They didn't throw things out so much as they brought out the verses and the points that really affected or touched their lives, that met their time period. You say, okay, what's that have to do with anything with us? Remember the scriptures, it says, therefore, dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works to you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God wants us to work out our salvation. Not that we're working for our salvation. We're supposed to be living it out. It's kind of like if I'm giving you a car, I'm expecting you probably to, what do you think? Drive it? Just saying, hey, I got a brand new car. Well, have you moved it? No. Have you turned it on? No. But hey, isn't that a cool paperweight? Oh, you're crazy. I didn't give you that car for it to sit there. I gave you that car to use, to work with it. And God gave us our salvation to work out, to live it out. And sometimes it takes a lot more living parts of it out than others, especially when we've got some people we're dealing with. Christmas is coming up, folks. We've all got some of those. God wants us to work out our salvations. And as we work out our salvations, there are truths in Scripture that perhaps touch us in different ways. For myself, those scriptures where we read about forgiveness and loving others and loving your enemies really resonates with my soul, because I've lived through that. And because, well, at time to time, I need to be reminded of it. For you, as you work through scriptures and you work through this holiday season, you may ask yourselves, what is it that really touches my life? What of the Word of God do I need to put maybe as the first verse? Maybe it's God's comfort. Maybe it's God's love. Maybe you need to be reminded that God is a God of judgment and you need to straighten out. I don't know what it is. But God is not against us, as it were, changing the verses around, just as long as we apply them all to our hearts and our lives. Because Advent isn't just about what happened in the past. We're going to say this throughout this holiday season. But it's what's happening now and what is going to happen. It's looking back and saying, Christ came. Christ is coming in me, and Christ will come again. So as we study our Bibles and get into the Scriptures, and as we arrange our lives and work out our salvations, we may look at others and say, they're singing their song a little different. That's okay. They're really talking a lot about love, and I think they're focused on that a little too much. Maybe they need that. That person's talking a lot about forgiveness. And I do, let me tell you. But he needs that. The important part is that we don't throw any of it out. We embrace it all. But we take what God has given us and work out our salvation and apply it to our lives as we need to. So I look at the history of this song as a reminder that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why with fear and trembling? Because this is our salvation we're worried about, we're dealing with. We don't want to take it lightly. We want to take it seriously. And in this truth, this hope of Emmanuel, it's something we can share with the world. And God wants us to share it. That's why we sing songs like Go Tell It on the Mountain, which, by the way, we're going to sing in just a moment. Because it reminds us that we are not done with just accepting Christ. We are also supposed to give it to the world. So let's stand together and sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Thank you. Father, I ask that you bless these that come here today. Let them carry forth your word and your love to the world around them. And let them fill your presence this week, I ask, in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with God.